Thank you, Joseph. Fruits of the Spirit. So before I get started tonight, I want to do a little confession. In my home, I have hanging in my kitchen the fruits of the Spirit. And so at dinner time, when the children were younger, if they're bickering or they had a bad day or they're grumpy about something or la-da-da-da-da-da-da, I'd say, what fruit's missing right now? And it was just another way for our family to kind of come back to the center. We're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. I don't require my children to be perfect. But I do require us to know who we are, who we're called to be, and who we're not called to be. Will you pray with me? In the silence of the stars, in the heaving of the sea, in the rolling of the hills, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, the chatter of a child, the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the silence of this room, the longing of our minds and our hearts, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. So I also want to put it into a historical context. When Paul is writing this, the people of the time knew what it took to produce fruit. There was no Kroger. There was no HEB. In fact, I woke up this morning to groceries being delivered to my front door. That was not a thing when Paul was writing this letter. If you were eating fruit, you knew where it came from. It came from a tree. It came from a vine. You also knew what it took to produce that fruit. The pastors, we went away on a conference, and like the amazing pastors we are, we skipped out on a class and sat in the hallway and just talked and hung out for a session. And we were talking about this sermon, and Arthur said, well, I like to go to Kroger and buy the pre-cut watermelon. And Greg was like, do you know how much that costs? That's ridiculous. Greg and I don't have a six-year-old and a four-year-old waiting to eat the watermelon, right? There's no pre-cut fruit in this scripture. Fruit takes time. I want you to think about that as I'm reading. I'm going to start with Galatians so we remember what all the fruits of the Spirit are. And like Paul does in Scripture, he kind of does this ABA thing when he writes to people, right? Please stop doing this. Well, usually he starts with, I miss you. How are you doing? Please stop doing this because you need to be like this. Because this is who God called you to be. So here now in Galatians 5, 16 through 25. Live by the Spirit, I say. Do not gratify the desires of the flesh, for what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit. And what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Here we are. You ready? Fornication, impurity, lustfulness, adultery, sorcery, enemies, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, fractions. He keeps going. Envy, drunkenness, cursing, things like these, I am warning you as I have warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Yet, by contrast, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, sometimes faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, competing against one another, and envying one another. It's a lot. Yet also, it's pretty concrete. Who we can be as humans is wanting what we want when we want it. Not always the best part of ourselves. Who we're called to be by God is to kind of, I view this as slowing down. Taking the time to do the things that are necessary to be the person that you're called to be. I don't want to point fingers at anyone, but each one of us has something of the flesh that we are drawn to. I get angry very quickly. It's something that I never thought would be a part of my marriage and my motherhood because I was a school teacher first. I was the most patient, kind, and loving school teacher you've ever seen. And then my family came, and I could get so angry so fast. It was kind of shocking to me. My husband was the kind and patient one, and I was kind of the one that needed to go and take 10. But that doesn't mean that's who you know me to be. Because I try to counteract that, as the scripture says, with what's opposed of anger is love. What I've learned in my life is anger takes a lot of work and effort. So does love. But love has a much better outcome. The word love, when we use it today, feels like a heart, like, you know, or that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about a Valentine. We're not talking about when you say, I love you to somebody. We're talking about a deep, committed love. We're talking about the cross. The ultimate love. And so as Paul is describing this as fruits of the Spirit, the people that he is talking to understand that this isn't something you can go pick up on your way home from work. This is something that takes time to cultivate. It takes time to grow. I did a little research. The average grape, edible grape that you just buy at Kroger can take up to 6 years to produce. 6 years. So here's the steps, because I really didn't quite believe it. First, you need to prepare the seed. We'll talk about seeds in a second, so hold on to that. That takes about 1 to 2 weeks. Then you need to begin to grow the seed. That takes 2 to 8 weeks. Then you have to transplant the seed into the earth. And those seedlings can take 1 year to get to the height they need to be. Well, then you have the growth of the vine. So the seedlings grow up and then they need to start growing out. That takes 3 to 5 years. Then here's the tricky part. It starts producing fruit. It's not edible. The first fruit you need to take and discard of, first fruit is 3 to 4 years. And so by the time you can harvest grapes, they're ready to harvest when they've reached desired color, sweetness, and texture. They don't continue ripening after they're harvested, so you must pick them at the right time. So the total time from seed to fruit-bearing vines is anywhere from 3 to 6 years. Fruits of the Spirit. If I think about deep relationships I have, I always go, of course, first to my husband. We're going to put that aside right now because I do love the man deeply. But before my husband, there was a group of about 8 girls in college. They knew me before I was a mom. They knew me before I was a teacher. They knew me before I was a wife. They definitely knew me before I was a preacher. And they're still my people today. In November, we're going on a trip. Almost every year, minus some COVID and some babies being born and stuff, we've gone away together every year since college. And what's amazing about this deep love, this deep friendship, is it hasn't always been easy. My college roommate and I used to fight like cats and dogs. She was filthy. I love her. I love her deeply. And what's great about calling Carrie is I cannot talk to her for 2 weeks, for a month. I honestly don't remember the last time I've seen her in person. But when we get to the beach in November, it's going to be like yesterday. But it's taken time. I think about some of the friends that I have in life that I've had for over a decade and how we've gone through ups and downs and we've been with each other through miscarriages, through births, through deaths, through job loss. All the things each and every time solidifies our relationship, but it takes work. What we're talking about today when we talk about love is a deep, committed action. It is a verb. Love isn't unicorns and butterflies and 20-minute sitcoms. Love is hard work that we're all called to do. Let's go to John 15, 12 through 17. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I choose you. And I appoint you so you might go out and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. So that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Y'all, I get chills when I read this in Scripture. This is still written for us today. We play a part in this story of Christianity. We still need to hear this. For when you don't know how to cultivate fruit, chaos can happen. There was a period in my life where I tried to be that mom, and we grew a garden out back. Well, I'm not that mom at all, and it did not work out well, mainly because I decided to plant watermelon. Those of you who know things about planting watermelon, that was a very poor decision for many reasons. One, the vine took over the small little garden I had. There were no more green beans. There were no more strawberries. There were just crazy watermelon vines that like wrapped around all the plants. And it destroyed our garden. In fact, it got so bad at one point, I was afraid to go outside without my dog because I wasn't quite sure what might be living in the vine. Yet, it was still growing fruit. So I thought, okay, at least it's still a success. It is the worst watermelon I've ever tasted in my life. Because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to trim a vine. I didn't know how to properly water and trim away what was unnecessary so it wouldn't take over the other things in my garden that were actually good. Got like 10 green beans that year. 10. I tell you this story because just because you plant the seeds and wait for it to grow doesn't mean you can just put it in the window and ignore it. Love takes time. Love is scary. For when you choose to love somebody deeply, you become vulnerable. You can be hurt. Yet, I've never had a relationship where I regret loving somebody fully. There can be good and there can be bad, but I would rather love than hate. There's not many words that were completely restricted in my home. Hate is one of them. For to me, hate is one of the most hurtful, angry words we have in our language, and we flippantly use it. But for me, hate is the opposite of love. Hate is the opposite of what we are called to be as Christians. And we were given an example by Jesus Christ himself of how to love. There's not one place in there that I read that love is easy, so you should do it. In fact, because he was writing to people who understood fruit and harvesting fruit, the people listening understood that love takes work. Love takes intention. Love takes time. But it's so worth it. Because the opposite is what the first scripture said, is opposed to our flesh. And so as I preach a sermon on a simple word, love, I want you to dive into that word this week. What does it mean for your life? Who do you need to love better? How can you cultivate this fruit of the Spirit that Jesus himself taught us to do and commanded us to love him and love one another? Just think about what would happen in your workplace if you chose to love that coworker. Think about what would happen in your marriage, in your friendships, if you chose to intensely and purposefully love one another. For that's putting that person before you. That's being humble. I think I've told y'all this story before. But when I ran the preschool at a local church, there was this one little boy. I literally thought the teachers of that class were going to quit. He was a lot. I mean, he was 4, but he was a lot. And he was full of anger, and he was full of energy, and it was hard. And then one day, I saw the mom coming to pick him up. And she walked into a school that I was so proud to run, and I thought just exuded love and joy. And she walked in with her shoulders humped down, her her eyes to the ground and just not happy to be there. For she knew the second she went to the classroom, the teacher was going to tell her how bad her son was, etc., etc., etc. So I went to the teacher's room at the end of that day, and I said, I want you every single day before you come in this classroom, you pray for his mother, his dad, and him by name. Because we are not being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying what you're doing isn't very difficult. But we're going to start with love. And when you greet that mother at the end of the day, you find something good to say about her son. I don't care if it's about his haircut. You give her a reason to know that you see him. By the end of the school year, and again, this did not happen overnight. This took time. One of my proudest moments as a director of a school was when she walked in smiling. And she interacted with other parents, and her son came up and hugged her. That's what love looks like. I gotta tell you, that kid did not become easier. But there's something that happens when you say their name and you pray their name. You begin to see them through the eyes of Jesus. You begin to love them through the heart of Jesus. Because if we were left to our own accord, we would only go to the flesh. Yet we're called to live by the Spirit. We're called to live by the example of Christ. And luckily, we're called to do it through Christ, not through our own hearts. Our hearts are to be transformed by Jesus's love, by God's love. Think about the person that you love the most in this world. Just imagine how much God loves us. Every single part of you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, how can we say no to that kind of transformation? How can we say no to that kind of love? So as we go out this week, I want you to think about love in a different way, not in a 30-minute sitcom. Not in a card you can pick up on the store on the way home, but in a process of intention, of truth, of kindness, and ultimately of God transforming your heart so that you can love well. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, as we go apart today, I ask right now that each person in this room and watching us online feels the power of your love. Love that heals. Love that sees the goodness in others. Love that puts us on the right path and prunes what needs to be pruned so that we can bear your fruit. Each and every day this week, let us start with a love that is given by you. We say this in your holy and precious name. Amen.